Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. All the law. All the prophets. All that God had shared with his children in the Old Testament. All that God had shared with them up until this point when Jesus came to earth. All of it depends or hangs on these two simple yet very difficult statements. Love God and love others, both of which center on the same verb, love. Well, if we could simply love, we would fulfill all that God would desire of all of humans. Wouldn't that be pretty amazing? Well, we all know that it's a lot easier said than done. This is our starting point this morning, so let's write this down. According to Jesus, God's greatest commandments are to love God and love others. All of the law depends on love. All of God's commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. You shall not let your crazy ox get loose in the village, because if your ox has been known to be violent and it is not confined and kills a man or a woman, then both the ox and the man must be put to death. It's a law. It's in there. You shall not reap to the edges of your field, nor gather the gleanings after your harvest, but instead you leave these for the poor among you and the sojourners. Another command. If you go through all of the commands of God, every one of them are rooted in love. Every one of them hang on love, depend on love. Think of all of the prophets, all that God shared through the prophets. It depends on love. Warnings of departing from God's ways, of turning to pagan gods, of allowing pagan worship or pagan influences into their nation. If you don't get your priorities right, you're about to lose God's protective hand over you. If you continue to treat your fellow Israelites in unfair ways, here's what's going to happen to you. Now, those might not seem like very loving statements. And as you read through the prophets and hear the things that God speaks to the prophets, you might think, well, that's not very loving. But when you look at the root is that God is trying to foster a healthy, loving relationship between his people and him, between his people and each other. Love God. Love others. All the commands, all the prophets, all the law, all the prophets. You could even move forward into all of Jesus' teachings, could you not? All of Jesus' teachings depend on love. You look at Jesus' life. I mean, he's the example. He's who we are all striving to look like, to act like, to live like. And all of his intentions, all of his interactions were based on love. Even the confrontations, they were love-based confrontations. Even in his anger, when Jesus showed holy anger, it was based out of love, not hate. If we could just live in love. If we could just live in love, if we could just live in such a way that love was the base of everything that we would say or do, then we would look and sound just like Jesus. And that's the goal of every Christian. And you can follow this into the New Testament teachings and writings as well. The authors of the New Testament, love, love, love. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 13, he says, now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, But the greatest of these is love. The three pillars of those who are in God's kingdom, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So if we could just get it together, if we could just simply learn how to love all of the time, then we would be able to follow all that God asks of us all of the time. Is it really that simple? Does it really come down to one verb? Jesus seemed to think it was. And we're here because we believe he was the authority on such matters. So I would have to say, yes, it is that simple. But through history, and even as we have experienced in our own lives, even with the best of intentions, even with our greatest efforts, we still miss the mark in being able to love God and love others all the time. Now, at times, love can come easy. You know, those first few years of a relationship, the honeymoon stage, as we call it. You know, puppy love, they can do no wrong. They're so lovable. You just want to serve them and care for them. Show your love to them. You're willing to give up a little or even a lot to show them how much they mean to you, to love them. In those first few years of a newborn baby, oh, they're so cute. They're so adorable. Everything they do is adorable. And you'll sacrifice sleep. You'll sacrifice you time. You'll sacrifice a lot of things to give that newborn the love that they need. Or loving someone who treats you kindly, who treats you with respect, who treats you with gentleness and patience. It's fairly easy to return that kind of treatment with love. You're willing to go the extra mile for someone who treats you this way, to go the extra mile and love them. But things aren't always that easy, are they? Years down the road, when you've hit a decade or two or three of marriage, when you don't always agree on things, when you have built a long list of things that your spouse does that annoys you, there may be some deep-rooted hurt, some bitterness, resentment and frustrations. Years down the road, when that dependent little infant grows into an independent child or teenager who is argumentative, mouthy, or rude, or making decisions that hurt those around them, yourself included. When you're faced with unlovable people in your life, people who have walked over you, who have taken advantage of you, who have disrespected you, even people who have abused you. And yet Jesus' words still remain. The greatest commandment is to love God, and the second is like it, to love others. All of what God asks of his people depend on those two commandments. And we know we're not capable of loving this way. We know we're not capable of loving God all of the time, in all situations. We know we're not capable of loving other people all of the time, and in all situations, we fall short. And so we cry, help. We need a helper. We need a come alongside. We need a parakletos to help us. To help us to love like this, to help us to obey the greatest commandment and the second that is like it, to help us to love God and to love others. Think of how much our lives would improve if we could just grab this one verb and these two commandments, to love God, to love others, to love the way we should love. Well, that would be the way to go, wouldn't it? Imagine how much value you would bring to all of those around you. Imagine how much glory you would bring to the Father in worship. write this down. I need the power to love. It's not a bonus. It's not even a desire. It is a need. Guess what? If you're a Christian, you have it. You have the power of love. You have the power to love living inside of you. Look what Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the who? Through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So write this down. This is just straight from Scripture, right there in quotes. Fill in those blanks. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit living inside of us is the assurance that our faith is real, that our salvation is definite. In other places in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a seal or a guarantee of our salvation in Christ. The Holy Spirit is a confirmation that we are loved by God, that you wouldn't have the Holy Spirit if you weren't loved by God, that God saw value in you, that God sees value in us. And that's a big component to love. Jesus says we're to love others as we love ourselves. If you don't know how valuable you are, how are you going to show value to others? If you don't know that you are loved, then how are you to love yourself and to love others as you love yourself? Let's write this down. You cannot fully love others until you understand that you are fully loved yourself. And the Holy Spirit confirms this. Just the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life is confirmation that you have been saved. The seal, the guarantee that your salvation is solid. The assurance of our salvation found in the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit is evidence that you are a recipient of God's love, that God has brought value to your life, that you are saved because you are loved, that you have God living inside of you, not because you deserve Him, not because you've earned the right. No, you have God living inside of you as a gift. And this gift, because you are loved by God. You are a child of God because you are loved by God. And the Holy Spirit confirms all of this within us. He speaks to our spirit, capital S to lowercase s. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit to my spirit. The Spirit of Jesus to my spirit. Romans 8 says this, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You cannot fully love others until you understand that you are fully loved yourself. And the Holy Spirit confirms that. He speaks it to our spirit. And just His presence confirms that we have been loved. Because you wouldn't have the Holy Spirit without love. Let me remind you that this Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, it is God. We're told in 1 John chapter 4 that God is love. So the very essence of love lives inside of us, dwells inside of us, makes His indwelling in us. God is love. And love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit living inside of us. God's love. Let's write this down. Love itself. Love itself lives inside of us because the Holy Spirit is God, and God is what? Love. Well, there we go. All fixed. 15 minutes. So we're empowered to love in a greater way than we would ever be able to love on our own, because love lives inside of us. God lives inside of us, and God is love. 1 Corinthians 13, the famous passage that defines what love is and what love is not. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. This is the love that lives inside of us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. God is love. And as a result, we are made capable of all of these aspects of love because love lives inside of us. Christians, you have the power to love. And the love that lives inside of us knows no limits, does he? We're told in John 3:16 that God loved the world. God loved the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Not only that, but he loves sinners. Another famous passage we use often, Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Love so devoted that God sent his only son to die for mankind. Love so unhindered that even being a sworn enemy doesn't stop his love. That kind of love lives inside of you if you're a Christian. That's the love that lives in us. So we're set, aren't we? We're all fixed. We're all little Jesus clones now because we have that very love inside of us. So we can love the way he loved. We can live the way he lived. We can treat others and talk to others the way he did. But, well, that's not the case though, is it? Why don't we love like Jesus? We've been empowered to love. He lives in us. He even confirms with our spirit, you belong to God. You are loved by God. And yet we still don't have a great success rate at love, do we? We don't love God like we ought to. We don't love others like we ought to. Ephesians 5 tells husbands, love your wives. And we fall short of that, don't we? Titus 2:4 says that women are to love their husband and their children. Ladies, how's that going for you? All the time, really. Maybe not so much. Numerous places through the Old Testament tell us that we should love one another, that we should love our siblings in Christ. We're not hitting that 100% either, are we? Jesus even says that we are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Well, if we aren't loving the easy people in our lives, then we probably aren't doing a great job at loving the difficult people either. So we miss the mark often when it comes to love. And why is that? It's because love is not for the faint of heart. Love is not easy by any stretch of the imagination. Let's write this down. Love costs. Love costs. Love costs the giver. Love gives. It pours out. It costs. And the bottom line is that we aren't willing to pay the cost to love. That's why we don't love. We aren't willing to make a holy choice over an unholy choice costs. To love God means giving something up. It means turning down the pleasure of sin in order to glorify our Father. It means getting up on a Sunday, joining the church family as we sing songs of praise and share in communion together and get into God's Word together. It means humbling ourselves in some sort of act of service outside of these walls. Love costs. We don't love all the time because there are times when we just don't want to pay what it costs to love. Choosing to treat someone in love, to speak to someone in love, to be there for someone in love, it might cost us some pride. It might cost us some emotional or mental energy. It might cost us time, which is a valuable resource to many of us. And we're faced with a choice and we decide it's not worth the cost to me to do what Jesus told us was the most important thing to do. So we have an issue. We have God's Spirit living inside of us. And that cost God, didn't it? Jesus had to go to the cross to make that happen. Jesus paid for our salvation. And we have that reminder in us all the time. You're loved so much that Jesus died for our sins. And so we should love God and we should love others. Jesus said to follow him means to take up your cross daily. That costs. Something attached to this as well. Love costs the giver and gives value to the receiver. That's a powerful piece of love. The thing that's important for us to reflect on that's what love does. Love brings value. Love creates value. And we're familiar with this, very familiar with this as recipients of God's love. He brings value to us. Think of what our love communicates to others. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not rude. It's not irritable. That communicates value. That communicates worth. You are worth my personal restraint. You are worth pausing my emotions over. You are worth tempering my word choice and my tone with. You are worth choosing a kind attitude and a kind response. That brings value, doesn't it? Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not arrogant or self-seeking. I'm going to put value on you instead of all of the value being on me. I'm going to rejoice with the things that God has blessed you with instead of being jealous that he didn't bless me with those as well. I'm going to humble myself and lift you up instead of pushing you down in order to lift myself up. All of those things bring value. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love is not resentful. That's the opposite of bitterness. That sounds a lot like forgiveness. Just like how God canceled our debt. We know how much value that brings to us. That's the kind of value you can bring to others. Love does not delight in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Love brings value, but that value comes at a cost. It's always going to cost, but it's always going to bring value. So let's go down another layer. What keeps us from being willing to pay the price of love? As you see in 1 Corinthians 13, we see there are things listed that this is what love is not. And all of the things that are listed as this is what love is not, they are core elements of sin. Envy, boasting, arrogance, self-seeking, resentful, rejoicing with wrongdoing. Love costs, but we don't always love because we don't want to pay the price of loving. So we withhold love because it costs more than we're willing to give. What causes us to be stingy with our love? Well, it boils down to sin, our flesh. Our flesh and our sin, they're in the opposite corner of the ring from God's Spirit. It's like Bruce Buffer calling from the center of the octagon. It's time! Some of you guys know. In this corner, the challenger, covered in lies, pride, and selfish ways, is our flesh. And in this corner, the champion, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God. And the octagon is not some external stage. It's quite the opposite. It's an internal stage. It's inside each of us, and that's where the battle is held. Romans 8, verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you." So write this down. Our willingness to love is directly connected to what power we support in our lives, sin or the Spirit. Do you want the power to do what God has instructed us to do? Do you want the power to love God and to love others? The power to love your spouse and love your children, to even love your enemies? The power to forgive the unforgivable. You want the power to be set free from bitterness and resentment. You want the power to have value, to give value to all you interact with. The power to show patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness to all. You have it. He's living inside of you. But sin keeps us from connecting with that power. We're going to have a little fun with science today. Don't lose that. I'll warn you, it is a little bright, so we'll get a test because sometimes things wiggle a little bit. There we go. Too bright? I can't control it. That's all we got. All right, so that's our test. So, simple wire, okay? Wires conduct electricity, right? So we connect this. But some of you guys are like, this guy knows nothing about electricity. Okay. I need new glasses. They're on their way in. Well, so you have to get the insulation off. in order for it to work right. Hey. So that's how it works. You have to get the insulation off to make a connection to let the power flow. You know, my mom, as I was growing up, she always said, don't take a shower when it's storming outside, right? Because lightning will jump through the... Anybody else's mom told them, don't take a shower when it's storming outside? So, Mom, I'm sorry, but... So, all right, so... I guess all those years of avoiding a shower. You know what's interesting, though? What happens? What? What happens if we throw some salt in the mix? What do you think? Is that crazy? Well, yeah, sure. Give science. God invented science, so we're giving God a hand. What did Jesus say about this? You are the salt of the earth. Salt's a great conductor when mixed in water. Let's write this down. The key to the power of love is to simply be a conductor of the love that lives in you. The key to the power of love is to simply be a conductor of the love that lives in you. Church, give him control. Stop holding on to your life. Give it to him. Connect. Be the salt of the earth. And let his power of love flow through you. Don't stand in the way of it. Don't resist it. Don't lose your saltiness. Is it that simple? Oh, the concept absolutely is that simple. The solution truly is that clean cut, but accomplishing it is not that simple at all. Unfortunately, we are very intricately connected to our sin. Though stripping the wire, I wish it would have gone a little easier. It's nice that that took a little bit of effort today, because I think that's fitting. Because sin, unfortunately, has more control over us than we would like, and it is harder to remove it. We don't always see victories in this area, but if you let the Holy Spirit do his work, he will make you more receptive to his leading and less receptive to sin and flesh in your life. God's Spirit will help us to be better conductors. Peter opens his first letter by saying, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles in the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, should file that word away, it's a big word, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. Let me get back to it. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. So Romans 15:16, 1 Corinthians 6:11, 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and Titus 3:5 all make references to the sanctifying work of the Spirit. The sanctifying work of the Spirit inside of us. All of us who have been saved, who have been baptized into Christ, we were saved. That happens immediately. But sanctification is a process. And the Holy Spirit is working to sanctify us, to clean us, to make us more holy each and every day. Stripping the wire, stripping the insulators off our flesh and our sin so that we can make a better connection with the power that lives in us. Let's write this down. The more sanctified I am, the better conductor I become. The more sanctified I am, where'd that guy go? You know, the more you get that covering, the film, the gook of flesh and sin, the more we get that taken off, then the better connection we can make to the power that already lives inside of us. John 4. I want you just to listen to this. I mean, John was writing 2,000 years ago to Christians then, but I want you to just listen to him as if the Holy Spirit were speaking through John straight to you, because that's exactly what he's doing. And listen to this as God speaking to you. Not John writing to someone, not a preacher reading it in front of you, but God speaking to you. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Let's write this down. God lives in us and is revealed through our decisions to love. John says, no one's ever seen God. But guess what? When you love, God is seen through that. When you love, when you connect to the power of love already living inside of you, the world sees it. Well, you are the salt of the earth, but you're also the light of the world, aren't you? When we look like Jesus, who was the light of the world. God is seen through our decisions to love. A little earlier in the passage we just read is where we find this note. Let's write this down. I have been born of God and know God. If I have been born of God and know God, I will love. John says, if you don't love, then you must not know God, because God is love. I mean, that's straight from Scripture. So, church, if you have been born of God and you know God, you will love. Let the Holy Spirit work with you to sanctify you. That inner battle that's going on inside all of us as the spirit in our flesh, as the spirit in our sin battle, you give way to the spirit, not to your flesh. Because we know God. And if we know God, then we will love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a few verses up from the passage we read earlier, Paul says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." Let's write this down. Anything multiplied by zero love is zero. Anything multiplied by zero love is zero. We need the power to love. We need the power to love. It's hard to connect with that power if we aren't being a good conductor. And we need the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to strip off the sin that insulates us from His power that lives inside of us. To be willing to give what love costs, because we know that love gives value, and it's worth it to give value. To give value to those who are around us and to bring worship to God the Father. Because He first loved us. He showed us what love is. And if we've been born of God, then we know God and we will love. We will love God. We will love others. We can understand how much we are loved because God has poured into our hearts His love through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit confirms the love of the Father. He confirms our salvation. He confirms that we are God's children. And all of that happens because we're loved by God. And God will be revealed through our love. God will be revealed through our decisions and our attitude and our actions and our words of love as we look more like Jesus. As we are a bunch of Jesuses walking around. That's why Jesus said, "It's better. It's better. You're going to do greater things." Are we going to die on crosses? Not the way He did. He was a once-for-all sacrifice. That's not what Jesus was talking about how we're going to do greater things. Jesus had Jesus things that only Jesus could do and would do. But when Jesus says you're going to do greater things, Jesus was one man on earth. We get a chance to be many Jesuses on earth, walking around, interacting with others, loving others, loving God. As we connect to the power to love inside of us. And then we will be able to do all that God has asked of mankind since the beginning of creation. We grab that one verb, and we love God, and we love others. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for the gift of your Spirit living inside of us, empowering us to connect, to belong, to love. Father, I ask that you would help us. Man, we need it so bad. We're not great at this subject. Even on our best day, we fall short. And how great would it be to just love? To love you with purity? To love others All the time. Those that are in our life that need our love, those are in our life that absolutely don't deserve it. To love all of those people. Father, I pray that you would help us to connect, to be a good conduit of your Spirit, that your love would shine through us, that we would be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Thank you so much for showing us what it looks like through your Son, what it looks like to be truly human, to live the way that you have desired us to live. Thank you for his example, his teachings, his sacrifice, that could allow us to have a relationship with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love, 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 love. One verb, four letters. You'd think it'd be easy, but it's not. Let me encourage you during this next song to continue this conversation with God, the conversation that he's already started with you on the inside. Maybe there was a certain part today that connected and God's Spirit's been speaking to you. Listen to him. That's this whole series. We've got God's Spirit living inside of us, and yet we take it for granted. We act oftentimes like he's not even there. And we miss out on so much. I hope that through this series that there's some inspiration, there's some get in there and open up to him. Because we could be so much more than what we are for his kingdom. We could look more like Jesus if we just connect with the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We could do so much in the area of love. If we just get rid of the sin that so easily entangles us and run the race, that we would follow Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. This morning, let me encourage you, Christians. None of us are perfect. All of us have some insulation that could be stripped around away to make a better connection. Talk with God about that during this song. Repent. Turn to him. Our guilt should bring us to repentance, to bring us to change. Guilt's not meant to keep us in guilt. Guilt's meant to produce a change. Seek that change today.